I started to title this lesson, Three Tenses, but that would have required some English understanding. And really, what we have that we're going to talk about this evening are three very simple, easy to understand and recognize reasons why one should desire to be a Christian. Reason for considering this, not that I think anybody here still needs to be reminded why to be a Christian, although these things will be a refresher for us and maybe give us a little more boost in our own activities as a child of God. But when we talk to others about being a Christian and we have opportunity to talk to others about Christ, sometimes we're asked, why should I be a Christian? We understand that when we talk about this, when we're asked a question like somebody's seeking for a reason, some sort of cause or motive, some way to motivate them to commit themselves to this way of life. Oftentimes when we tell somebody that they ought not do something, well, why not? We tell somebody you should do something, well, why should I? You know, sometimes when we're telling our children that, as they were growing up, the answer we gave them was, because. Usually, kind of behind that was, I said so. But we need to be able to give reasons as to why we ought to be a Christian, and we could spend weeks and weeks dealing with this particular idea and touch on any number of subjects that we might have in the pages of Scripture. But as we said, there's three simple things, three good reasons, I think, and three very simple things that to someone who is truly searching, these may be an encouragement to push them just a little bit closer, maybe even all the way to committing themselves to live a life serving the Lord. And they are three things that affect every single person on the face of the earth. That's why I say these things, looking at these things again, will be a benefit to us who are already Christians and maybe a strengthening of our motivation, as well as give us some things that we might be able to talk to others about that would encourage them. And the first thing, the first reason why we ought to be a Christian is because of your past. When a person stops and considers the life that they have lived already, especially if we're able to sit down with them and talk to them in light of that life, about that life in light of the Word of God, in light of the Creator, the Savior of the world, oftentimes, even we as Christians, when we look back at what our life used to be, we still feel some shame, maybe some concern that we let ourselves get engaged in that. What I have done is a good reason for me to be a Christian. Because as we studied in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has violated the will of God. And when we violate the will of God, we need to recognize and understand, and maybe this is one of those things we can urge others and impress upon them so that it will cause them to stop and consider the consequences of the way they're living their life. Sin is the reason Christ had to die. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we know how he took away the sin of the world. He sacrificed himself. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 beginning, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We touched on John chapter 3 and verse 16 in our Bible class this morning. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe on him could have life, could be saved. Christ died on the cross of Calvary because I commit sin. Our past, what we have already done in our life, and even the things that we are doing right now, should be a motivating factor to get right with God. I recognize a lot of the people we talk to, this isn't going to do much good. Some of them already believe that, yes, I need to do something in order to take care of that, and I've already done that. I've already given my life to the Lord. I told God that I believed in Him and I was going to follow Him. And so there are other things we have to talk to them about. I've got another lesson that talks about 10 reasons why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, or 10 reasons to be a Christian. And we got the book that we've been studying with, been going through with the Law Box on a semi-regular basis. Brownlow's, is it Brownlow? Yeah, Brownlow's Reasons Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. And it touches on some of the things that we would have to deal with when we talk to denominational people, emphasizing the authority of God and those sort of things. But there are some that when we talk to them, they will be touched by the fact that the way they have lived their lives is what caused Jesus to die on the cross. What made Jesus have to give His life? And I think that's something that should touch us as well. Yes, we're children of God. We gave our lives to the Lord. But do we think about the severity of sin? And think about all the consequences, not just the consequences to ourselves, but what God had to do in order to provide a means by which we can be free from that sin. We talk about the blessing of being free from sin, but do we dwell from time to time? And I think we should more often than maybe we do. Do we dwell from time to time on what that consequence was, what that truly means, the sacrifice that had to be made? God gave His Son, willingly gave His life, even when He knew there would be so many that would not take advantage of it. Who we were, what we have done in the past, but also not just the sacrifice of Christ, but sin itself brings death. It brought death upon mankind. That we learn in the book of Genesis. Up until the time that Adam and Eve sinned, they lived in the Garden of Eden, and from what we read in Scripture, they could have gone on living there forever. But once they committed sin and were cast out of the garden, death came upon all men because of that sin. In James chapter 1 and verse 15, as James talks about sin, he talks about the temptation and the lust and desire. And he says in verse 15, "Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. For as Paul told the Romans, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We deserve death because of our sin, but if we will take advantage of Christ, we can avoid having to pay that price. We're still going to leave this life. But we can find a means to not be separated from God for all eternity. We can't undo the wrong that one has engaged in the past. But we can help others to find forgiveness for their sins, just as we, as Christians, have found forgiveness of our sins. Again, in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, "There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." And as we studied, when we studied that passage, when we studied in our Bible class this morning and recent classes, there's a lot more, there's a lot of things involved in that, but the basics of how we are saved are in that passage right there. Through our obedience to the will of God, by becoming Christians and being willing to give our life to the service of God, we can get rid of the sins of our past. No matter what those sins may be. No matter what may have been done in our past life, they can be cleansed and dealt with by being a Christian. There's a very strong and solid reason to give someone's, for someone to give themselves over to God and submit to His will, so that they can be cleansed of the sins that lead to death and destruction, that would keep them from entering into heaven when this life is over. Because that death that we talk about that is the wages of sin is more than just a physical death. It is an eternal separation from God. Our past is a good, solid, sound reason for us to be a Christian. Maybe you've already guessed number two. Our present. A good reason for us to be a Christian is our present. And when we talk about that, we're not talking about, we touched on the fact that we still have sin we have to deal with, and certainly that's something that's going to be a constant in our life from now until the end of time, the end of our time here on earth. But when I mentioned that our present is a good reason for us to become a Christian, it's a good reason for us to give to others as to why they ought to give themselves to Christ, it's because of what we can do, not what we've already done that needs to be dealt with, but what we can do if we are a Christian. If we are a child of God, we have time to do things for Him if we become a Christian now. I think this is a reason that we ought to have available, or we ought to try to use with those who are young, who we're talking to about being Christians, those who we're trying to encourage to give their life to the Lord while they're still young, to remind them that while they have time, this touches on some of what we talked about this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. We're only here for a short time. In fact, all that we're promised is the present. James chapter 4, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. At sort of the close of the story of the farmer whose crops had done so well and he thought everything was going great, God told him, as we read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have, whose will they be? We're only given a certain length of time, and God expects us to serve Him and to do His will. And once we understand the blessing of having our sins forgiven, the peace that comes upon us because we are right with God, we're going to want to tell people about it. And the longer we put off giving our lives to the Lord, the less time we're going to have to talk to people about that. Here again is one of those things that I think can be an encouragement or a motivator to us as a reminder that God has given us salvation through Christ, and while we don't earn our salvation, there are certain expectations that are laid upon us. There are good works that we are to do, as we touched on as we read from Titus this morning. God has prepared good things for us to do, and the New Testament scriptures are filled with those activities, the responsibilities that we have toward our brethren to love and care for them, the responsibilities we have toward our neighbors and our friends to talk to them about the gospel. To go as the New Testament Christians did when they left the city of Jerusalem because of the persecution, to go and spread the gospel every opportunity and every place that they went. Because we have given our lives to the Lord and submitted to Him as obedient servants, we have responsibilities. And those responsibilities are a good reason for us to be children of God. Because we can help others to know the peace that we enjoy. We've only got a short time here upon this earth. In Acts chapter 5, we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and you remember that story, how they tried to trick God. Certainly they weren't successful at it. And they lost their life right then. Neither one of them, when they were selling their house and making these plans, had any thoughts whatsoever that this was the last decision they were ever going to make. In fact, I suspect as the two of them talked about that and made their decision as to what to do, they probably had some thoughts along the lines of, everybody's going to think well of us for this. We may get a pat on the back or an attaboy. Well, they probably didn't use that phrase. Not knowing that their life was gone. Why should we be a child of God? Why should we encourage others to be children of God? Because of what we can do right now. We have time right now that we can worship God. I sometimes think that's one of the privileges that we have as children of God that we don't think enough about. We get to come together and sing praises to our Savior and God. We get to talk about the wondrous things that God has done for us. We get to approach our Father in heaven together, to join together in asking Him for the things that are needed, asking for His blessings, and to thank Him for what He has done for us. We get to gather around this Lord's table and think diligently, meditate on the things that have been done for us. And in doing so, we praise and honor God. We offer up to Him worship. We prostrate ourselves, at least spiritually, before Him and acknowledge His greatness. And not only do we get to do that, but we get to tell others about Him. We've got time right now, as long as we're alive, that we can talk to others about the greatness of God and what He has done for us. Have you ever just talked to somebody who's having a difficult time and talked to them about how, yes, I had some trouble, but I gave my troubles to God, and I felt a peace. I think sometimes we hesitate in that. I know I have in the past because we're afraid that they're going to get the denominational ideas that are out there. But we do. We do have peace when we give our troubles and trials to God. When things don't go the way that we expected them to, we can go to God in prayer. We can either literally or figuratively get on our knees and approach the Creator of the world and say, God, help me through this. God, take this burden and help me bear it. Every time I read that story, I think the title of it is Footsteps. You find it in people's houses on a plaque. You see it online every now and then. I've seen a few memes based on it even. And it talks about how the trail of footsteps, and then there's only one set of footsteps. Why did you leave me? He says, that's where I carried you. I saw one the other day, that drag mark there, is that big single long ditch looking thing there where I dragged you kicking and screaming. God is there to help us with our troubles. Have you ever stopped and when somebody's having a difficult time, just talk to them about that? About how God has helped you with your trials? Helped you through a difficult time? That's something you can do as a child of God. If you're a child of God now. If you're devoting yourself to serving the Lord. If you're giving your life to Him. Submitting to His will and putting your trust and hope in Him. Well, I say, some of these reasons are very strong motivators for us. John tells us, as he writes the words of Jesus in John chapter 9, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Part of my reading this past week was in Peter's epistles. And always, just almost every time I read through 2 Peter chapter 3, I stop and go back through a couple of verses there. Beginning in verse 10, Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Go back and look at that again. What sort of people ought you to be? We turn to these passages and talk about how they tell us that the world is going to be destroyed, that in the end of time, this earth is going to be burned up and it will not be anymore. But you know, that's, I don't think, the point that Peter's making. The point that Peter's making is, since we know these things, how should we be living? As I've made the point before, I suspect a great number of us will not be alive when the world is burnt up. We will have already passed. We will have already left this life. And so we need to look at it from the standpoint not of these things, how should I live my life knowing that the world's going to be destroyed? How should I live my life knowing that I've only got a short time for God? Knowing that my days are numbered. And I don't know what that number is. Had a few famous people die in the past few days. One of them was 103. Another one was 84. Somebody else was 90-something. None of us are guaranteed to get past tomorrow. How do I live my life? Why should I be a Christian? Because right now, if I belong to Christ, there are things I can do for myself, for God, and for others. And I think that's a part of what we need to emphasize to folks when we're talking to them about being Christians. And I think that's an important part of what we need to emphasize to young people. You have time now. Look at what you can do. Sometimes go read from financial sites and read how badly messed up I was when I was a young fella and didn't prepare myself for retirement. Probably not the only one in the world that does that. And they, you know, you go read those sites and say, if you'll put back $20 a week, every week, from the time you start working at about 18 or 20, then when you get to be in your 60s, you got, no matter how, millions sometimes, depending on who's doing the figuring and what kind of interest rate they're using. Why don't we do that with working for God? If you start serving God when you're young, and you devote your life to Him and to talking to others about Him, how much good can you do if you do live to your 80? Versus if you put it off now, and you go ahead and you do those things that make you feel good right now. And you surround yourself with people that make you happy without any consideration as to what God thinks. Until you're 30 or 35 or 40 and then you start, how much less good are you going to be able to do? And then consider the fact you may not even make it to 40. Of course, as with the retirement figures, of course, all we can do is start where we are, right? We can start with right here and right now. And whether I live to be 60 100 or just barely make it to 57, I can serve God today. I can do good for Him. And I can help others to know about God. Why should I be a Christian? Because of today. Because of my present. What I can do for God if I belong to Him. And of course, this is probably the reason we use more often than any other. This is the one we focus on oftentimes. My future. Why should I be a Christian? Because of where I'm going. If I'm not a Christian, If I'm not giving my life to the Lord and I'm not obedient to Him, I'm going nowhere in this life, and I'm going to eternal damnation when this life is over. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Jesus said, what can a man give in return for his soul? And again, this touches back on some of the things we were talking about this morning. If my life is all about material things, all about here and now, it is wasted. Because whatever I gather up and accomplish and do here goes no further than here. Because I'm going to die. And somebody else will take that and do what they want to with it. You don't think about that very much. Don't consider it. Grab some of those things that you think are so very important, that's got all that sentimental value, and hand them to your kids and get them to honestly tell you what they're going to do with them. I got a big old framed picture of me when I was a little guy that used to hang in my grandmother's hall along with all her other grandkids. It wasn't that I was special. We all had one. Mom got it when grandmother passed away. Just a few years back, Mom gave it to me. You know where it's at? It's leaning up against the wall on the shelf in the top of one of my closets. I have no desire for that picture. I don't have any need for it. Don't want it. And I know my kids don't want it. But it was important to my mom, and so I'll hang on to it as long as my mom asks me about it. It's not that I'm going to be deceptive to Mom. If she says, what are you going to do with that picture when I'm gone? I may tell her. I may just give it away. Or it may just stay in my closet till my kids clean out all my stuff. Because it doesn't matter to me like it did to her or it did to my grandma. If all we're doing is doing things for here, it don't matter. Where am I going? What am I willing to trade? Am I willing to give up my soul salvation, eternity with God, just so I can enjoy things in this life? My future is a very good reason. And that's why we use it so often. Where am I going to be when this life is over? In Revelation 22 and verse 20, we read, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm confident that when John wrote those words through inspiration, that soon there had a reference to coming in judgment. But also understand that Jesus is coming soon. For me and for you, even though the world may last for another 1,000 years, He's coming soon for me. I doubt I'm going to see 100. I'm going to keep at it. Maybe I will. But even if I see 100, I'm already over halfway there. Not much, but a little bit. Over half of my life is gone. If I were to reach 100. Jesus is coming soon as far as I'm concerned. And I need to be ready for it. And the only way I can be ready for judgment for eternity is to live for Christ today. I can't put it off till tomorrow. I can't hope that something's going to change 10 years from now and it's going to be easier and therefore then I'll do it. I've got to do it today. Paul told Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. There's a day coming when I'm going to stand in judgment before God, and I need to be ready for it. Why should I be a Christian? Why should you be a Christian? Why should my neighbor be a Christian? Because they're going to stand before God and give an account of how they live their life. And Jesus is the judge. And Matthew 25 tells us about His judgment. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And later we read, the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And later we read, then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And you know what the deciding factor is going to be? I don't have Matthew chapter 7 on here. You know what the deciding factor is going to be? It's not going to be whether I believe that He was Lord. It's not going to be whether I accepted mentally that God created the world. It's going to be whether I do the will of God, whether I belong to Christ or not. "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father in heaven. The rest will hear, 'Depart from Me, I never knew you.'" I need to be a Christian, and I need to encourage other people to be a Christian, because there's a day coming, there's a future ahead of us, that decision is going to greatly affect. It's going to determine our eternal destiny. Oh, if everyone we talk to, when we told them about Christ, the answer they would give us is like we hear in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Three reasons why I need to be a Christian. Three reasons why everyone needs to be a Christian. I've got sin in my past, and without Christ, it's going to remain with me all my days. I have time right now where I can serve God, I can give Him my life, my devotion, and I can talk to others about Him. And one day, I'm going to stand before that great white throne and be held accountable. And I better belong to Him. My past, my present, and my future. All sound, solid, simple reasons why one should belong to Christ. If we're convinced of those for ourselves, it makes it that much easier for us to talk to others about it. As I said, a lot of people we talk to, we won't ever even get to this point. But there are those that can be convinced with such reasons as this. This is all we need, because they're looking to find salvation. If we have opportunity, we need to use it. Someday we'll talk about those 10 reasons, and then we'll get into all the other myriad reasons and other lessons to want someone else to belong to the body of Christ. Because, Brother Bill, I could just keep preaching on this over and over and over. I could never finish this lesson if I wanted to try to do all of it. But these three are some pretty simple and easy to talk about reasons, which we need to recognize in our own life. We can't convince others to be Christians if we're not being Christians ourselves. So, am I a Christian today? Honoring and praising and serving God. If not, I need to correct that. If the brethren here can assist you in that time and opportunity, as you require, let your desire be known.